Thank you so much. You on your papers? Well, I'd like to say, first of all, God bless to those of you on the Believer's Line, a.k.a. the conference call, Facebook, and those smiling hearts that I'm looking at right here, right now. And ditto to everything Jeannie said up here. And one thing I noticed in the manifestations is I'll be touching on some of those things that were said in this morning's sharing. Because there's nothing new under the sun. Nothing. So, you know, it's funny, in life, there's a lot of things we could do. We could be great chefs, athletes, movie stars, or a profession of our choice. And a lot of these fields are looking for our qualifications, otherwise known as, what's his attribute? What's her attribute? And if you don't have the qualification or attribute, you're not getting the job. That's been asked of me at times. So there's one who doesn't need to answer to any of us as far as his attributes, and that would be Almighty God. Almighty God. Would you agree? Amen. Amen. So the title of this morning's sharing is this: the loving attributes of the Almighty God and Father to us all. When I'm sharing this morning, I may not be constantly looking at you because I'm looking at my notes at times, but you know who is constantly looking at you, and more than that, your heart? God Almighty. So it really doesn't matter if I'm looking at you all the time. Just know that what we're here for is to focus on what God is focusing on, and that's you and I. Amen? I'm going to ask a few of you to share in one or two words who God is to you. So, for starters, I'm going to ask our beautiful sister right here. God is love. Okay, that's wonderful. Bob.
God is awesome. God is awesome.
Great, great. Dan Mekus, who is God to you?
My rock and my fortress.
Boy, you can't change any of those answers. They're all right. They're all right. Thank you guys for those. But we're going to see some of God's attributes this morning. But before I get started with that, I want to give you the quote for the day. And that is, the devil doesn't care what we hear. He really doesn't care what you hear. Comma, as long as you don't do anything with it. Are we going to do something with it? Absolutely. So, devil, tough. We're doing things with what God says we have and what we can do. Okay? So that's the quote of the day. Now, let's look at God through the pages of his heart. God truly wants us to know who he is and to fellowship with him. We're doing it now, and I trust you're doing it all day long, every day. We hang out with one another, but more than that, we need to hang out with God. We want an experiential relationship with the Father. Not just read about him or hear from other people about him, but we ourselves want that one-on-one experiential relationship with the Father. And to do and live that, it's not that hard. It's going to his word. It's talking with him throughout the day and saying, Father, there's no part of my day that I want to live without you involved. And that's wisdom and love both. When we allow his word to live and to show us his attributes, then we can truly tap into the power, love, and all the other benefits and promises that he gives us freely. Freely. God's not going to charge us for that. He just says, here I am. Ask me. Ask me. So, Let's take a look at some of these. And God for sure is a compassionate Father, giving you and I a chance of a lifetime when we go to His Word. A demonstration of His love we see in the words, and we've seen this verse many, many times, but it's okay to look at it again. And that, if you could, I mean, I'm going to read this out of the NLT, is in John 3:16, please. John chapter 3 and verse 16. It says, "For God so loved the world so much that He gave His one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life." That sounds like a tough thing to do, doesn't it? No, not really. Not really. Where's your heart at, right? And then verse 17 goes on to say, God sent His Son into the world, not to judge. We're pretty good at that ourselves, but that's not why Jesus Christ came. Not to judge the world, but to save the world through Him. And thankfully, the Father is so gracious that that's what He allowed to happen for you and I. So that's just a demonstration of the love of God. And we are. And now, I give you His attributes. I'm going to call this one number one. And number one attribute is God is powerful. And we'll get that here in a minute. God is powerful. What God said to Jeremiah is what we already know. And He's confirming this in Jeremiah. If you will, please go to Jeremiah 32:17. Yeah, God has so much for us that we need to grab onto it tightly and hold it tightly. And in Jeremiah 32:17, it says, "Ah, Lord, God, behold, Thou hast made the heaven and the earth by Thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for Thee." That was our theme verse that you see up on the screen. There's nothing too hard for God. God knows that we need so much, and He's a powerful God. You can never tap out His resources. He's got the power to give you and I, and that very same power that He created the heavens and this earth and all that is in them, especially us. And if that's the kind of power He has, I want some of that. I want some of that. Now, if you've noticed, in chapter 1 of Genesis, God tells us how He spoke the heavens and the earth into being. Now, that's power. That's power. You and I, we'd have to physically build something or get materials together. God just said, sun, boom. Light, boom. Plants, boom. And then when He got to us, Bob, Jeannie, Daniel, all of you, there you go. There you go. So now that we're alive, we need to make good use of it, especially for the Lord. He's got the attributes. We need to tap into those. It's good to know that He didn't hire a contractor or ask angels to pitch in. No, it was His immeasurable power that God used. God wants us to do powerful things in our lives as well. He wants us to do powerful things in our lives as well. Why would we hold back? We have so many opportunities day in and day out to help someone or those around us. And we tap into God's power for that. In the final chapter of Ephesians, this is what God says to you and I. And this is right after the armor that we put on to stand. But it's interesting to see this verse at the very end. So, if we could all go to Ephesians 6:10, that would be wonderful. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. It says, "Finally," before everything that I just mentioned, the armor that we put on, "finally, my brethren, be what? Can't hear you. Be what?
Strong.
Thank you. Be strong. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Not ours, His might. That's a humbling and loving thing to say. It's nothing to make you think that you're not good enough. No, you're good enough. We just want to tap into His power. His power. Now look at Isaiah 55, 11, please. Isaiah 55 and verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. Again, God speaks these things into happening, you know, and that's what makes Him all the more powerful and all the more Father we want to be a part of. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. There's a lot of things that we have good intentions of doing in our lives, and we send it out there and stuff, and it doesn't work, it doesn't happen, or it fails, what have you. Not with God. When God says, I'm doing this, guess what? It's happening. And when you ask God for help, have an expecting heart. Believe in your heart that it will happen. Now, I'm not saying, Father, I need 40 Cadillacs and 2 Mercedes-Benz. Come on. But my dear brother in Christ here needs healing. And I'm ministering to him with your power and love. And God is a healing God. And that's what he's going to do. You just keep on praying and asking him. That's what's so wonderful about our Heavenly Father, is he's always there to provide. So, this brings us to attribute number 2. And that is, God is sovereign. In other words, God's dominion is over everything. There's no one above God. Okay? So when we have this direct access to God, you're talking to the big guy. You're talking to someone who's going to show you only the best things in life and provide them for you. We know God is not a man that he should lie, right? But these powers, or such powers, would go to man's head if we could even do them, and thank God we can. They would go to man's head. With this supreme power, God also gives us, again, his immeasurable and unconditional love, and we are so blessed for that. Because on a bad day, God still loves you. On a bad day, man may not. And all I have to say about that one is, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Now here, Daniel interprets a dream to Nebuchadnezzar, King Nebuchadnezzar, warning him to humble himself before God, who gives life and can take it away. And God alone rules and is sovereign, and God is the reason, he's the very reason he, Nebuchadnezzar, can have power. And to see this, please go to Daniel chapter 4, verse 34. I'll be reading this one also out of the NLT. After this time, and this is stuff that went on before that, where he had King Nebuchadnezzar eating grass and was like an animal because of all the junk that he was doing and where his belief was at. But once he got his head cleared up, it goes on to say, after this time had passed, I, Nebuchadnezzar, looked up to heaven. My sanity returned. And I praise and worship the Most High and honor the one who lives forever. His rule is everlasting and his kingdom is eternal. Verse 35, and all the people of the earth are nothing compared to him. He does as he pleases among the angels of heaven and among the people on the earth. No one can stop him or say to him, what do you mean by doing these things? God knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. And so this is what King Nebuchadnezzar said about what God has done. Attribute number 3. God is holy and just. And What that simply means is we know that God is holy. He's holier than the holiest, right? But he's a just God. He's not going to favor one person over another. He's a just God. And what he does is right. What he does is just. Go to Isaiah, if you're already there, 57:15, please. Isaiah 57 and verse 15. The high and lofty one who lives in eternity, speaking of God, the Holy One, says this, I live in the high and holy place with those whose spirits are contrite and humble. I restore the crushed spirit of the humble and revive the courage of those who repent, repentant hearts. See, that's all God is asking us, is to be true to him. If you've done something wrong, ask for his forgiveness, taken care of. If your spirit is crushed, God's going to build it back up for you. Because that's what he does. He wants us to be on time with him all the time. And we have problems in lives. So, God does not change. He is the one true God who resides in heavens above and in you and I, ready to deliver mankind who does change. We do change. I'm sure you've all had experiences with that. And is to repent with all humbleness of heart. That's what we want to do, is to repent with all humbleness of heart. God is there for you and I. So it's a great comfort to know we have direct access with the big boss with an open door policy. Amen? I can remember years ago when I was working for a company, I took in my resume, so to speak, and they said, you need to speak to the boss. And I said, okay, but don't just walk in there. Knock on the door and da-da-da-da. Okay. So I go in there and he's behind his desk and we talk. And while we were talking, this particular statement came across my mind that we have an open door policy with God Almighty. So it got rid of my intimidation. Not that I thought I was a superstar, but I was still being humble, but just to know that we don't need to be afraid of man. Okay, and out of respect, I went in there and talked with him. He presented me what he was going to pay me an hour, and I told him, no, with confidence. And he goes, what? I go, no. I said, I have experience. I know how to do this type of work. And he goes, really? I said, Monday morning, I'm going to bring you in a sample of what I can do. And I did. And he goes, you're right. We're going to pay you this. And he bumped it up nicely. And so I was thankful to God first, and then him. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 4. Deuteronomy 32, verse 4. You know, there's a whole lot more to this as far as when it comes to God's attributes, but we're only going to look at five, but there's so much more with God's attributes. And again, not that he needs to be qualified through us. We need to be qualified through him. Deuteronomy 32:4 says, he is the rock. His deeds are perfect. Are our deeds perfect? No. Is that okay? Yes. We need to get him better. Who do we go to? God. Everything he does is just and fair. He is a faithful God who does no wrong. Really, that must be rhetorical. How just and upright he is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's just good to know all these qualities and the attributes of our Heavenly Father. We're going to look at attribute number four now. And this is a good one. God is merciful. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Father. This goes along with God is love. They're intertwined, his mercy and his love. So let's look at Psalms 145:8, please. And in Psalms 145:8, it says, the Lord is gracious. If that's all it said, that's enough. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. slow to anger. Not man. We get angry at the drop of a hat. I've done it. And then you say, why did I say that? Or why did I do that? God never has to say that. God is slow to anger and of great mercy. Of great mercy. That's our Father. When he said he wanted a family, he wanted to make sure that we are aware of his love and his mercy. Look at Titus 3:4, please. Titus 3:4. It says, but when God, our Savior, revealed his kindness and love, he saved us. He saved us. Not because of the righteousness or the righteous things we had done. Good Lord, that would... but, because of his, again, mercy. Because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. He showered us with this. So his shower head is really big, and it covers all of us. It covers all of us with his mercy. And God never wants us to go through life without having that peace in our hearts. Would you agree? Yeah. Look what David says to the Lord. And for this, we need to go to Psalms 51:1. David had quite a relationship with the Father. And they spoke, and they spoke. It says, have mercy on me, O God. Well, that's a fair question. Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love, because of your great compassion. Blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sins. This is what the Father does. And this is what he asked the Father. God responded and did what he asked, because he knew that he was reaching out to him first and only. And let's look at 2 Corinthians 1:3, please. 2 Corinthians 1:3. And this will be, again, out of the NLT. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father. It says it right there. You don't have to take Spanish or Japanese or Chinese. It says it right there. God is our merciful Father and the source of some comfort. Did I say something wrong? Thank you. The source of all comfort. All comfort. Wherever you need comfort in your lives, guess who's there? God. Guess who endured the price for that? Jesus Christ. We've got the complete package, ladies and gentlemen. God is the source of all comfort. Verse 4 goes on to say, he comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others when they are troubled. We will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. The same comfort. Not a knockoff, not an imitation, but the same comfort that God has given you and I. And that's something that just warms my heart. So, we have to ask ourselves this. What greater comfort is there than to receive it from God's gracious mercy? There is none. That's the greatest comfort we can know. And God is gracious enough to give it to us. Give it to you, give it to me. We need to tap into these attributes, my brothers and sisters, because this is how God is and who he is. And this brings us to God's last attribute that I wanted to share this morning, And that is, God is love. And that's a big one. God is love. Now, to remember this truth, let's look at a familiar passage in God's Word that reminds us how we can never, never, never be without God's love. And for this, some of you may know this already, but we're still going to go there. Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 35. Romans chapter 8, and let's pick it up in verse 35. The first question is, can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? No. Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? No, no, no. Even when we fall asleep, when we wake up, God's going to pick up where he left off in our lives. So loving that we're going to have eternity to look forward to. We're not going to have to walk around saying, man, I hope I live to be 100. Oh, I hope somebody, no. Eternity. Verse 36 goes on to say, as the scriptures say, for your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. And what's the first word in verse 37? No. 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 Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. When Jesus Christ was here, he not only loved the apostles and those in his days, but he was going to do something to show the love for us today. For us today. And this is what we can share with those around us. It's important. It's vital. It's life. Verse 38. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. There it is. Nothing. 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 If you make a mistake, it ain't separating you from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons. When I first read this, angels, why would God's angels want to separate us from his love? No, these are the bad angels. Just so that you know, these are the evil angels that he's talking about here. Neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. It's stated again in verse 39. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God. There it is again. That is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. How is it revealed in Christ Jesus? All you got to do is look at all his accomplishments and who he was doing it for. His Father. His Father. And all this culminates by bringing it to us today here. And for those tomorrow, there. This is the great love that it talks about here in attribute number 5. Basically, it's who God is. Love is his nature and his makeup. It's his makeup. Joyce Myers once said, God separates our who from our do's. In other words, God separates our who we are from what we do. Why? Because he loves us. He loves us. We may have a bad moment in our lives, but that doesn't make us bad people in God's eyes. He forgives us instantly. He forgives us instantly when we ask him. And he remembers our sins no more because of God's love. That's almost unbelievable. But if God says it, then it's true. Who more to back up his word than God himself? In closing, all these attributes are part of the very creator of life, which brings us great comfort, knowing God is the Father of the Father to us all. He's the Father to us all. You know, in a funny way, I guess, some people say, well, I didn't have a father and stuff like that when they were growing up. But when they believe and make Jesus Christ their Lord and that God raised from the dead, they have a father. The best father known to mankind, God Almighty. And we've just seen some of his attributes. He is wanting our love and to know his love. That's what he wants. And to do that, we go to his word. We talk to him and listen. And for you and I to have an everlasting relationship with him and knowing he's always there for us and gives us the peace in our hearts that this world could never give us. God's love is what holds all these attributes together, and we could never outgive God, so don't try. So, let's close with this verse from our Father, and that would be in 1 John 4:16, please. I said 4:16, right? Okay. We know how much God loves us. We've seen that time and time again this morning. And we have put our trust in his love. That's a good place to invest your love. God is love. And all who live in love live in God. And God lives in them. So, now that we've looked at these five attributes, God is powerful, God is sovereign, God is holy and just, God is merciful, and God is love. I trust that you'll be reminded and better equipped to step out with these in your heart, knowing who our Father is all about. And I also want to remind you that this is a small portion of God's attributes. Not that he needs to be qualified through us. Again, we're qualified through him and Jesus Christ. But to know that God does have a pretty, pretty good bookshelf of what he does. And that bookshelf has one book in it, the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
That's what I wanted to share with you this morning. So if you'll allow me, I'm going to close with a prayer. Gracious Abba Father, we thank you for all the things that you show us, not just this morning, but each and every time we're in fellowship, or each and every time we talk and walk with you. I thank you for each heart here this morning and their great significance, because each one of us has a unique signature that no one else can duplicate. Each one of us reach out in our own way with people that you set aside just for that person. So I just pray, Father, that we can step out with great boldness in our heart, not conceit or ego, but great boldness that you give us, reminding us time and time again of who we are. And Father, when those opportunities come our way, we can exemplify some of your attributes in our words. And so I just thank you again for this day that you have made, all in Jesus' name. And they all said, thank you.